Okay, so good morning, everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session for Wednesday, the 25th of September. Good to have you with us, as always. Welcome. The whole idea of this session, as you know, is for us to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, we do have an awful lot of volatility in these markets. The biggest problem is it's not overly coherent. We do have some yesterday we did get in the end some significantly negative Okay, sorry about that little interruption there. A little gremlin in the system, it seems. There we go. Okay, we're back. Okay, so let's get into it this morning. We'll share some of the news that dropped yesterday, what that means for markets. We're getting some interesting bits of price action playing out for us. Please take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. Now, all profitable traders, they need to consider, of course, which markets to trade, where do we then enter and exit markets, how do we manage risk? And keeping that exposure on the lower side at the minute is not a bad strategy. We will increase it at some point. But there's a few points of concern that should be discussed, and when you look at these market conditions, and they are of kind of a mixed nature, that's often a sign to perhaps not be as aggressive with markets as we could be in other conditions. How do we manage each trade, of course, and trading psychology, all very important features. There's a lot of education in the members area on each of these topics, and we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms. So we're strong advocates of, you know, maintaining a high degree of consistency in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course be patient as well. So let's share some of the data that we got yesterday. Not a particularly eventful day. We started during the Asia session with the RBA keeping rates at 4.35. We seem to be getting an awful lot of weaker data coming through, and it's not just the US, as you'll see in a second, but certainly a lot of the data out of Germany and the Eurozone is very, very poor. Just look at manufacturing and services numbers yesterday. We're expecting a little bit more of a response off the back of those. We didn't really get it. But what we also have in here is, it does look as if some of the US data seems to be getting quite weaker. So we could probably start with the house price index year on year. That's coming down. That's dropping from 6.5 to in line with expectations at 5.9. So a little bit of a drop in there. The Richmond manufacturing, which is more of a regional manufacturing index, coming in much, much lower. And probably the more significant news event yesterday, which is the consumer confidence, and that's coming in significantly lower than what was forecast, and even if you look at the previous number, we're at 105. So within a very, very short period of time, a significant amount of confidence seems to be draining from the system. Now, it's interesting, you have certain cohorts, like the younger cohort up to 35 years of age, actually looking at things and thinking things are relatively confident. It's the older age group that seems to be less confident, which is quite an interesting dynamic. So we've got weakening data, and we are getting a market response. Few question marks really over that response, and I'll have a look at the bond markets in just a second. But crude oil inventories, we're expecting a negative figure. The more negative this figure is, the more it's likely to support prices. If it starts turning positive, or we head towards zero, or even in positive territory, we might see a continued rollover to the downside. Our expectation right now, as things currently stand with conflict in the Middle East, is that we're just marginally more likely to get a little bit more upside in crude oil. However, we are trading around strong resistance levels. So do bear that in mind. Okay. Tomorrow we've got the SNB. So we'll have a look at the Swiss franc, and we'll see where that can go. There is an expectation that we get a further rate cut from the SNB, a 25 basis point rate cut. So just three meetings ago, we were pretty much up at 1.75. And we've seen a series of cuts, all 25 basis point cut. So when we look at the dollar Swiss, just be mindful. Yes, we've got the Fed cutting from 5.5 to 5, but we've also got the SNB who've already been cutting from 1.75 down to 1%. So will we get a reaction out of the Swiss franc? We'll have to wait and see. We'll have a look at that interest rate differential. And then tomorrow we're going to get GDP numbers. You see, this is where the disconnect starts to come in, is that we're clearly seeing weakening data in manufacturing, in in consumer confidence. The jobs numbers are pushing higher, let's say, but we're still at all significant lows. There's quite a few areas of concern, even though the GDP number looks like it's coming in around 3%, which is really good quarter on quarter, don't forget. So so a bit of a tentative dynamic, and tomorrow we'll be hearing from Fed Chair Jerome Powell as well, deliver it's a pre-recorded opening remarks at the US Treasury Market Conference in New York. So it's always important for markets when Fed Chair speaks, but it's pre-recorded. There's no Q&A, so not particularly. It's a high-impact news event, but it's not of massive importance. But just be mindful, if you get a volatility around that period, that may be the reason for it. We'll also hear from Christine Lagarde as well, due to deliver opening remarks at the European Systemic Risk Board annual conference. It doesn't suggest that there's any Q&A, so that's more of a statement as well. But a lot of these Fed speakers that will give their opinion on whether they should go 50 next time around and what the concerns are, but it's kind of the same thing that's rehashed over and over, that actually the US economy is really quite strong, but we'll kind of keep our options open and we'll be data dependent. So we're no better off, really. Inflation is an interesting one. All the indications now suggest that we're on a significant downward curve with inflation. Might even turn into deflation over the coming months. At the moment, we're in a process of disinflation, which is just a decrease in the rate at which prices are rising. Okay, so today, today's Wednesday the 25th. Let's just get a little bit of an update on the Aussie CPI number. So coming in line with expectations, down significantly from 3.5. So we're seeing global inflation really across most Western countries really look weaker. You compare and contrast that to core CPI, and you can see where the we were up, and in fact the BOJ was seeing some significant, because we've been in a long-term sort of low inflation dynamic, and this is one of the reasons why the BOJ wanted to control yields, wanted to restrict and be ultra accommodative to get some inflation in the Japanese economy. We certainly did that, rallied up to sort of 5.4 at the peak, and now we've just come back down to 1.8. So we're half of where we were, and there is the process of the BOJ beginning to try to normalize. Today we've got new home sales and crude oil inventories, so we'll see how that's performing. We'd expect probably new home sales to be on the weaker side, and that looks to be what's been happening. You had the peak in 2021, 2022, and since then the weakness has kind of rolled over. Got a bit of a spike last time around, last month, but it looks like we're getting below that 700,000 level. See, some indicators aren't as weak as others. So when you get a lot of weakness, certainly around the periphery, it does suggest there's probably something more coming down the tracks. But you know, let's not preempt. So yesterday we got a significantly weaker dollar. So that risk on trading dynamic is alive and well. Now, one of the things that are a bit more on the puzzling side is we've got a bit of softening in the 2-year, but we're getting this rally. We're now, I think the phrase has disinverted. So we were in a situation for quite some time where the 2-year treasury yield was higher than the 10-year. And there's a lot of questions around, you know, when bond yields invert. You know, it's a signal and sign that a recession's coming. So, and that was, you know, a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years ago now. And then there's lots of commentary saying that as soon as they disinvert, that suggests a recession's coming down the tracks. And then when you get the Fed cutting rates, it suggests that they're doing so because a recession's coming down the tracks. And now what we're hearing with some of the analysis around this is that, you know, the wider this gets, the more likely that's likely to induce a recession. So we do have this slightly strange dynamic, because it does mean the risks over the longer term time period seem to be increasing quite considerably, and we still have a softening in the 2-year. So all of this is kind of a normalization, but it's confusing for it to be happening in that way. So it's not overly helpful. And let's see how this plays out. So when we look at, so we can see that we had a bit of a, I mean, the only move yesterday was pretty much in the dollar, significant dollar weakness across the board. Now we were able to benefit in the dollar CAD. We took a small loss in the euro dollar. So we're just canceling ourselves out quite a lot at the minute with the nature of some of these moves. So it's like one win, one loss, and it's making quite limited progress. We're still in the S&P 500. Yesterday, we didn't really rally that high, and now prices are looking a little bit on the weaker side. And you compare and contrast that to the euro dollar, it does look like we're pretty close to breaking these highs now. We've already seen a pretty significant rally yesterday, well, the last two or three days, perhaps in the pound dollar, complete reversal off the lows, and then rally exceptionally high. Now, we had Keir Starmer yesterday at the conference speaking, and it does appear that we'll have to wait for the budget, of course, at the end of October. But they're quite vocal about wanting to achieve everything. The question becomes, how do they kind of finance it? And there's a lot of talk about, you know, a lot of wealthy people leaving the UK. But this is going to be a problem for a lot of governments, you would assume, moving forward. So, strong rally yesterday across significant dollar weakness, not so much in against the yen. The yen's got a slightly different dynamic going on. We spoke about the interest rate differential with the dollar Swiss. We're in this little sideways pattern. So when a central bank cuts rates, that's negative for the currency. We've got this interest rate differential trade. It's not really playing out in line with expectations because with the Fed up at 5.5 and the Swiss National Bank down at 1%, there's a 4% differential there. You think that would be in favor of the dollar? You think there'd be a little bit more demand for the dollar against the Swiss franc, and you'd expect this to rally. And as you can see, we've kind of seen the complete opposite of that. So a few little question marks over these market dynamics. If we get further momentum lower, there's a structural failure trade to the downside for the dollar CAD. It means this dollar weakness trade is still at the forefront. Same breakout, pretty close to that level for the euro dollar to the upside above the 1,1200. Dollar Swiss, let's see if we do get that cut, will we get weakness in the Swiss franc? Breakout to the downside of dollar CAD. And we were able to make that move yesterday, get above these levels. So we're breaking out of quite a significant weakness since we can even go back to the lows in with COVID. The dollar strengthened really quite aggressively, then it weakened even more impressively, and then since 2021 we've been in a dollar strength trade. But as you can see, a lot of these currencies have been moving sideways for the last year and a half, maybe 2 years in some cases, if you look at euro dollar. And it's only now we're beginning to break out of that range. So it might lend itself to a series of pretty significant dollar weakness trades. And we'd be comfortable doing that, of course, with the Fed cutting rates, perhaps an unwinding in the yen pairs, the unwinding of this carry trade. Eventually, I think timing for the yen is going to be really important. It's clearly not now. And then commodities, and we still have a bit of a bullish bias in crude oil. Yesterday was a bit of a nothing day. We're still trading around resistance levels, we get an update as well on happenings in the Middle East and retaliation for some of the strikes we've seen over the last couple of days from Israel. Gold is. You see, there's been, you know, a few select opportunities to get into this trade. And really, the opportunity was back at the 25-30 when we were looking to buy into it. Then you get a bit of a shallow pullback. It doesn't quite come back in line with expectations. And then you just see, you know, pure continuation. So only a couple of select opportunities. And they're not always, you know, winners, but there's a couple of key areas for gold. And the times at which those trades have occurred haven't been kind to us. So yesterday, some significant strength in the indices. Now it looks like we've got a bit of weakness coming in at these highs. So let's see how this develops. This may turn positive again over the course of the trading day. Step back perhaps from the Nikkei. Right now, the CAC is weakening, along with a bit of weakness there in the German DAX. So, so equity weakness. We'll see how much genuine weakness is in this. We're certainly opening the trading day so far with significant weakness. We'll have a look at some of the AI stocks very, very shortly. So really, the most opportune trade for us is the dollar. And it's a dollar weakness trade. So Sammy, good morning to you. Fed rate 5, and yeah, and the Bank of England is at 4.5, but still pound versus dollar strong. The pound is very strong, it absolutely is. So on risk on sentiment, interest rate is not much relevant. I suppose one argument that could support the pound dollar trade, and it's a very good observation, is you're quite right with current levels. But what we do have is the Fed have already cut 50 basis points, and they may very well cut 50 between now and when we get the budget, at which point November is probably the earliest point in which the BOE will actually make a move. So you are very right in what you've said. You've got where is it down here? So you've got the BOE actually at 5%. You've already got the Fed at 5%. And but what we're probably likely to see is perhaps even another 50 basis point rate cut from the Fed, and you've got the Bank of England that will start to cut, but is not cutting just yet. So you do get a short-term interest rate differential trade in favor of the it's the pound dollar, isn't it? So you're correct. The interest rate differential is a bit upside down then, isn't it? You'd probably expect the dollar to... No, sorry, I am correct, because the dollar is weakening at a much more aggressive level from an interest rate perspective than the pound. So it's a short-term play. So with the BOE holding at 5 and potentially the Fed dropping to 4.75 or 4.5, it creates that interest rate differential in favor of the pound over the dollar, which we're seeing the pound rally. So you can find, I mean, you've got to sort of dig a little bit deep, but you can find a reason to get into the trade. There's just an awful lot of other things kind of going on. So it's relevant to a very tiny degree, perhaps, if we can put it like that. It's not clear cut, because you really have, as things currently stand, the pound and the dollar both at the same level. It's just we're going to see another rate cut, and the market's probably pricing that in a little bit. Like like the economic situation for the UK is not great. I mean, there's significant optimism with the Labour government. We need to really see the budget before we can really assess whether that's a net positive or actually a net negative. And we heard from Keir Starmer yesterday, who was very, you know, we'll achieve all these things, but the question is, how are you going to achieve them? If you're already in a hole with a massive deficit, and you're looking to address that deficit, it often means less money for growth-related scenarios. So it's a careful balancing act, isn't it? As it always is. So maybe that is, Economic UK is not great. No, it's not. But we're seeing the pound rally really quite aggressively, and not overly in tune with it, to be honest. So, and there's a few things we're not overly in tune with at the moment. So, really our focus, it's still quite mixed from a market dynamic. We'll switch rooms now. We'll discuss it in a bit more detail, actually, if that's okay, pretty shortly. Certainly if you can join us. Yeah, we've wanted to keep all options open. Like I said, we've taken a couple of small losses getting into a bit of dollar strength at the beginning of the week. It's turned into significant dollar weakness. We have benefited proportionally with the significant move we saw in the dollar CAD. So we're not making that much progress so far this week, but let's see if that will change. It's only Wednesday, so let's see how we get on between now. We currently have two open positions as well, so let's see how they play out. So we're looking for, it's got a kind of a mixed market dynamic, but we're looking for so further dollar weakness is really the focus really for today. Gold strength, but we're just not getting any kind of coherent pullback. Right. So we seem to be getting a series of weaker economic data. So EU and UK. You see, we made the statement that good news is likely to be positive for markets, whereas bad news is likely to be negative for markets. We can probably apply that to the dollar. We can't really apply it to anywhere else, the indices. So, I mean, there's still a dynamic in the back of our minds, but we seem to be getting weaker economic data out of the US, EU, and UK. Okay, it's more of a kind of an observation. It's just a tricky dynamic. That's the biggest. So mixed market conditions and you know, we're listening to certain analysts and the levels of contradictions out there are pretty significant, not overly helpful. Okay, that's today's trade plan. So we're getting a lot of weaker economic data points all over the place at the minute. And, you know, we're still getting GDP numbers out of the US, which is still proving to be really quite strong at 3%. That's a really decent performing economy. And we've had Jerome Powell just last week say the US economy is fine. So they're not stepping forward and saying, look, we've got real problems here. We have to cut 50 basis point rate cuts. At the moment, it's really, we're seeing success with inflation, so we can bring inflation down. Sorry, we can bring interest rates down. And the market seems to be broadly accepting that narrative. But if this data gets worse and worse and worse, or we get some more significant data points like around growth and interest rates and, inflation and unemployment, if those areas start to get worse, then we do have a bit of a problem on our hands. So I don't know, sitting on the fence perhaps is not the worst of ideas. And if the data continues to worsen, then there'll be some good opportunities. However, if it continues to rally, then the equities will probably benefit accordingly from that. So yeah, tough market dynamics to sort of navigate. Yesterday we were kind of in this camp with the risk on trade indices higher, and which we didn't really get any follow through. So where we did benefit from was the weakness in the dollar. And we're looking for that to continue, really, with commodities hopefully making further progress, like more so for our crude oil trade. But let's wait and see. It's important to have a plan that you can at least try to stick to. It's very easy to get chopped up or to get distracted with moves all over the place. And that's the kind of dynamic we seem to be having. And will we get a net negative September? We'll have to wait and see, because at the moment, the equities are at all-time highs. So a little bit of work to see that negative September figure play out. Okay, great stuff. Okay, on that note, guys, sorry this has gone on a little bit later than anticipated. We are sort of spending a little bit more time to sort of try to work these things out. Quite difficult, quite challenging, but, you know, it is what it is. So we'll navigate through it accordingly. Great stuff. All right. So listen, on that note, thanks very much for joining us. Look forward to seeing you next time. If you are interested in learning how to trade the financial markets, just go to thelivetradingroom.com for more information, and feel free to connect with us through the website if you need. Great stuff. Listen, thank you as always. Appreciate your comments as always. And we'll switch rooms now to the European mentorship room. So if you want to see if we can take advantage of perhaps some further weakness in the dollar, then there's a couple of opportunities setting up. We'll try and have a good look at those. So on that note, listen, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.